This is Studio One at CBS.
Isabel, who's that dancing the first dance with Julia?
Oh, that's Noble Dill. He's one of the ones I told you about.
Is he much in love with her?
Much. Completely lost.
Has he got any chance with her?
Noble Dill? Mercy.
Then why does Julia give him the first dance?
That's one reason she's such a terrible belle.
With a moment from Booth Tarkington's Gentle Julia, CBS invites you to Studio One, a full-hour Columbia feature from the pages of the world's great storytellers, stories known and loved by millions. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here's the director of Studio One, Fletcher Michael.
Mr. Booth Tarkington's smiling and delightful portrait of Gentle Julia is only one among several in the gallery of people you'll be hearing about in tonight's story. Listening from left to right, there's Florence Atwater, age 13, whose air of acquired superciliousness presents a remarkable contrast to the soft sunshine of Julia. And then there's Florence's first cousin, Herbert, amiable and aimless and 14, and Herbert's friend, Henry Reuter, of similar age and disposition. And not to be neglected is Noble Dill, who is not of the worldly type 22, in spite of his straw hat, and seemingly a most commonplace person.
These are the principal portraits in Mr. Booth Tarkington's small town gallery, as arranged for exhibition in Studio One by Peter Lyon. Tonight, Anne Burr brings Julia to life for you. Rosemary Rice is recreating Florence. Michael Dreyfuss and Edwin Bruce are attending to reproductions of Herbert and Henry, and your producer will attempt to provide a reasonable facsimile of Mr. Noble Dill. And here we begin.
Perfect afternoon, Hattie.
You better get that rocker fixed, or one of these perfect afternoons it'll go right down under you.
Not the rocker's fault if I put on weight. What's been going on?
Well, looks like your great-nephew Herbert's found his mother's magnifying glass. He's out in his yard right now looking for bugs.
Mm.
And your little niece Florence just went by with her nose in the air.
Still practicing how to look supercilious, is she?
She was on her way over to your brother's. Stopped on the front porch, though. Hasn't gone in yet.
Oh? Oh, yes, I can see her.
I guess she's listening to your brother scolding your niece Julia again.
Big job, being Julia. Being officially the prettiest girl in town. Especially when her father doesn't take to any of her suitors.
Most of all, that poor Noble Dill.
Most of all, that Noble Dill, Julia.
Yes, Papa.
Was it Noble that gave you those two Persian cats?
No, Papa.
I just don't understand it. You'd think that your friends would finally get it drummed into their heads that I can't stand pet animals around this house. Who was it gave them to you?
It was Newland Sanders, Papa.
First, he writes poems about you, and now he gives you Persian cats. Well, anyway, I suppose I can't complain about his poetry. At least that's better than sitting in the library where the breeze blows in the terrible smell of those cigarettes Noble Dill smokes. Tell him not to, Julia.
Yes, Papa.
Or else I'll tell him never to come back here again.
Yes, Papa.
I had a dream about him last night. Dreamed that Noble Dill and I were the very greatest of friends. Woke up in a cold sweat. What a nightmare.
Now, Papa, I think I've listened to enough. If you'll excuse me, I have an engagement to go walking this afternoon, so I just
Who
think I'll...
Who with this time?
With Mr. Ridgely.
Mr. Ridgely?
That's right.
Why, that man is almost as old as I am. What nonsense.
Hello, Aunt Julia.
Florence. Florence Atwater, have you been sitting out here on the porch for long?
If you mean, did I hear what Grandpa was saying? I did.
Now, Florence,
Yes, I don't know why Grandpa has to speak so disrespectfully about Noble Dill all the time. Noble Dill's my very ideal. I'd marry him tomorrow.
What has brought on all this tenderness in favor of Mr. Dill, Florence?
I like him because he's so uncouth. I think he's the uncouthest of any person I ever saw.
Uncouth?
Yes. Cousin Herbert said I was uncouth, and I looked it up in the dictionary. It said rare, obs, unfamiliar, strange, and a whole lot more. What's that word obs mean, Aunt Julia?
I would say it meant obsolete, but never mind, Florence. I just wish to point out that it's not good manners to listen to other people's conversations. Goodness, I do wish that you and the rest of the family would stop treating me and my affairs like a three-ring circus.
Three? Why, Aunt Julia, you must be crazy. There's Newland Sanders and Noble Dill and that old widower Ridgely that Grandpa hates so, and Mr. Clairdyce and George Plum and the two new ones from out of town that Aunt Fanny Patterson said you had at church Sunday morning. Herbert said he didn't like one of them's looks much, Aunt Julia.
Did he indeed?
And there's Parker Kent Usher and that funny-looking one with a little piece of whiskers on his underlip and, oh, I don't know who all. Anyway, there's an awful lot more than three, Aunt Julia.
Florence, at your age, my mind was on my school books.
Why, Aunt Julia, Grandpa says just the opposite from that. I've heard him say time and time and time again, you always were this way about boys, ever since you were 4 years old.
That's as it may be, Florence. Anyway, I think it's time you were going home, don't you?
You mean you see that old widower Ridgely coming and you want me to go? Okay, Aunt Julia. But if I were you, it'd be Noble Dill I'd go walking with.
Well, there goes Florence. Guess Julia got rid of her, all right.
Just in time to receive Mr. Ridgely, I guess.
Yes. Florence has got her supercilious look on again.
Seems like she's trying to look like a duchess looking at bugs.
Yep. There's a reason, too. Herbert.
Well, you are a pretty one walking around so uppity.
Oh, am I, Mr. Herbert Atwater? I'm awfully glad you think so.
I mean about what Henry Reuter said. Henry Reuter told me he made you believe you were going to have a grapevine climbing up from inside you because you ate some grapes with seeds in them. He says
that nasty little Henry Reuter is the worst falsehooder in this town, and I never believed a word he said in his life. Anyway, what affairs is it of yours I'd like you to please be so kind and obliging for to tell me, Mr. Herbert Illingsworth Atwater, Esquire?
What affairs is it of mine? Why, that's just the trouble. It's got to be my affairs because you're my first cousin. My goodness, I didn't have anything to do with you being my first cousin, did I?
Well, I didn't.
That's neither here nor there. What I want to know is how long you're going to keep this up.
Keep what up?
Well, I mean, how do you think I like having somebody like Henry Reuter coming around telling me what they made a cousin of mine believe? And more than 13 years old, going on 14 ever since about a month ago.
Oh, for goodness sakes! Kindly reply to this. Whoever asked you to come and take a walk with me today?
Why, I wouldn't take a walk with you if every policeman in this town said I had to.
Well, I should think you could help bumping into me every second when I'm taking a walk on my own affairs. And walk along on your own side of the sidewalk anyway. And not be so awkward a person has to keep tripping over you every time I take a step.
Who says I'm awkward?
Oh, all the family. You bump into them sideways and keep getting half in front of them whenever they try to take a step. And then when it looks as if they pretty near fall over you, why...
You look here!
And besides all that, why, you generally keep kind of snorting or something and then making all those noises in your neck. You were doing it at Grandpa's last Sunday dinner because every time there wasn't anybody talking, why, everybody could hear you plain as anything. And you ought to have seen Grandpa look at you. He looked as if you'd sent him crazy if he didn't quit that chuttering and cluckling.
I didn't any such thing. And I guess you better study a little grammar. There's no such words in the English language as cluckling and chuttering.
I don't care what language they're in. It's what you do just the same, cluckling and chuttering.
Oh, dry up.
That's a nice way to talk, so gentlemanly.
Well, you try to be a lady, then.
Try? Well, after that, I'll just politely thank you to dry up yourself, Mr. Herbert Atwater.
Oh, buff. Where are you going, Florence?
Right there to my own house, since you have to know. And thank you for your delightful company, which I never asked you for, if you care to hear the truth for once in your life.
Well, I got nothing else to do, as I know of. Let's go around to the back door so as to see if your cook's got any fresh cinnamon squares.
guess I better start thinking about supper.
Yep. Been a pleasant afternoon, hasn't it?
Oh, look, coming down the street.
Noble Dill. Looks kind of mournful. No, not mournful exactly. More sick.
That's love.
Heading straight for Julia's.
Guess he wishes he'd gone on that walk with her this afternoon.
Poor Noble. Wouldn't be so bad if Julia weren't so gentle.
Hello, Julia.
I just happened to see you going by. Did you mind my calling to you and stopping you, Noble?
Oh, I know. No, I don't have to be back at the office any particular time, no.
I just wanted to ask you... Well, it doesn't really amount to anything. It's nothing so important. I couldn't have spoken to you about it some other time.
Well, there might not be any other time.
Why, Noble, what do you mean?
I'm thinking of going away. Going away from this old town.
You mean for good? Noble, you don't mean...
I might go any day, just as it happens to strike me.
But where to, Noble?
Just wandering around, vagabonding.
When do you think you'll start?
I don't know just when. I haven't set any day, exactly.
Have you talked it over with your mother yet, Noble?
Not yet, exactly. I thought I'd wait till it was certain I would go.
When will that be, Noble?
Well, it'll be soon as I've made up my mind to go. I probably won't go before then. Not till I've made up my mind, too.
But you might do that any day, mightn't you?
Yes, and then I'd be gone. But probably I wouldn't go at all unless I decided to. I guess I wouldn't be missed much around this old town if I did go.
Yes, you would. Your family'd miss you, and so would everybody.
And Julia, you wouldn't.
Of course I should. And so would Papa.
What?
Papa was talking about you this very afternoon, not 4 hours ago. He said he dreamed about you last night.
He dreamed about me?
He dreamed that you and he were the very greatest friends. There. Why, of course he'd miss you.
Oh.
He'd miss you as much as... he'd miss any friend of mine that comes here.
Well, what do you know about that?
I never saw anybody like you, Noble Dill. I don't suppose there's anybody in the United States except you that would be capable of doing things like going off to be a vagabond all just any minute like this. I've always declared you are about the most reckless man I know.
Oh, no, I'm not reckless. It's just that I don't care what happens.
Don't you?
To me, I mean. I don't care what happens to myself. I mean, that's more the way I am than just reckless.
Well, oh, I almost forgot what I ran out to ask you.
Oh, what was it, Julia? Something you want me to do?
Well, you see, Noble, Papa was called to New York on a business trip, and so I thought while he was gone, I'd give a dance. And what I wanted to know, if your plans to vagabond wouldn't interfere...
Oh,
maybe
Julia,
you might...
may I come?
But that's what I came
and
up...
And Julia, listen. Julia, I mean, listen.
Yes?
Could I have the first dance with you, Julia?
All right, Noble.
And the last dance, too, Julia. The first and the last.
All right, Noble.
Oh, Julia. Goodbye, Julia.
Oh, but Noble!
Yes, yes, Julia.
You haven't even asked what night my dance will be.
Oh, when is it?
Tomorrow night. Don't be late, Noble.
Guess everything's set for Julia's dance tonight. Saw the florist taking in two potted palms a moment ago.
Yep, and there goes Noble Dill up the street on his way.
Yeah. It's the second time he's gone past the house. Guess he figures it's still too early to go in. Poor Noble.
Poor Noble.
Well, look at you. Where are you going, pray, with a white dress on and a big pink ribbon, may I ask you, pray?
Yes, you may, pray. I'm going over to Grandpa's, if you must know Herbert Atwater, to help out at Aunt Julia's party, pray. And you'd better stay away from her back porch, too, pray, if you know what's good for you, pray.
back porch?
Don't think I didn't see you and that nasty little Henry Rooter watching while they bought the two freezers of ice cream, Ray. So if anything happens to that ice cream, I'll know what's what, all right.
Oh, fuck.
Say, here comes Noble Dill again.
I think that makes the ninth time.
I'm gonna ask him what's going on. Noble? Noble Dill?
Yes?
What is the matter, Noble?
Matter? How do you mean, the matter?
Well, my wife and I have been just sitting out here on our front porch, not doing any harm to anybody, and here it is nine times we've counted you passing the place, always going the same way.
Oh.
It's kind of ghost-like, Noble. We'd give a good deal to know what you make of it. How do you get back? That's the mystery. You're always walking down the street and never up. You know, my wife's never been too strong a woman, Noble, and all this isn't doing her any good. Besides, we sort of figured out you ought really to be at Julia's dance this evening.
I am. I mean, that's where I'm going. I'm going there.
That's what's upsetting us,
I'm going there.
You keep on going there. Just when we've decided you must be there at last, here you come, going there again. Well, don't let me detain you. But if you do decide to go in sometime, Noble, I'm afraid you aren't going to be able to do much dancing.
Much dancing? Why? Is there something wrong with Julia?
Oh, no, nothing wrong with Julia. But just think of your poor feet.
Dancing the first dance with Julia.
My, you have been away for some time. That's Noble Dill.
Noble Dill?
Sure, he's one of the crowd.
Oh, yes, I think I remember. He was a little boy then.
He still is.
Is he nice? Oh, he must be to be dancing the first dance with Julia.
Oh, I don't know. He kind of shambles around.
Look at him now. Looks like he's wearing his father's tux. And his father must have bought it 20 years ago.
Oh, he tries to dress, but he never did know how.
Sure looks happy, doesn't he? Even if he can't dance a step.
But he's one of the ones I told you about. In love with Julia.
Has he got any chance with her?
Noble Dill? Mercy.
Is he much in love with her?
Much. Completely lost.
Then why?
Why what?
Why does she give him the first dance?
That's one reason she's such a terrible belle.
What is?
Oh, the way she'll be just as nice to anybody like Noble Dill as she is to anybody. Look at her now. She won't laugh at him a bit, though everybody else is.
Well, I wouldn't laugh either. Not in Julia's position. I'd be too busy being afraid.
What of?
Getting a sprained ankle.
Julia, that was divine.
Yes, Noble, thank you.
You said I could have part of some in between the first and the last dance. Can I have the first part of the next?
Oh, well, I'm afraid not. The next is Mr. Claredice's, and I really promised him I wouldn't give any of his away or let anybody cut in.
Well, then, would you be willing for me to cut in on the third?
I'm afraid not. That's Newland Sanders, and I promised him the same thing.
Well, the one after that?
No, that one's Mr. Claredice's, too.
It is?
Yes.
Two that quick with Baldy Claredice, two with that old...
Hush, no. 32 isn't really old, it's just middle-aged. He's only the least bit bald. Just enough to be distinguished-looking.
Well, then, can I cut in on the next one after that?
I'm afraid you'll have to wait until quite a little later on, Noble. That one is poor Mr. Ridgely.
Oh, my goodness, Julia.
Noble, I'm afraid
Let's
people...
Let's go out on the porch where we can talk this thing over.
Oh, I'm afraid I'd better not. All the people aren't here yet.
You've got an aunt here and a sister-in-law and a little niece. I saw them.
We can talk here just as well, Noble.
We can't. We can't, Julia. I've got something to say, Julia. You gave me the first dance and the last dance, and of course, sitting together at supper or whatever there is, and you know as well as I do, that means it's just the same as if you weren't giving this party, but it was somewhere else and I took you to it. And it's always understood you never dance more with anybody else than the one you went with when you go with that person to a place, because that's the rights of it. In other towns, it's just the same way. They do that way there just the same as here. They do that way everywhere because nobody else has a right to cut in and dance more with you than the one you go with when you go to a place with that one. Julia, don't you see? That's the regular way it is and the only fair way it ought to be.
What?
Weren't you even listening?
Well, yes, indeed.
Julia, let's go out on the porch. If we stay here, somebody will interrupt us.
Julia,
as if they weren't already.
It's a wonderful party.
Julia, I can't tell you how wonderful I think it is that you gave this dance.
Perfectly glorious.
And the wax floor.
Julia, let's go out on the porch.
And such wonderful weather for a party, too.
My dear, in an orchestra.
Julia?
Oh, the second dance already.
Julia.
Why, hello there, Mr. Clairdyce.
Oh.
See you a little later, Noble.
By George, she just can't do this to me.
Where are you going, Noble?
Out on the porch to think. Oh, go ahead. I can see you through the window laughing and talking. Go ahead, dance with that old man, 32. See if I care.
Listen, Florence, you...
No!
Oh, what's that you struck me with?
Dagger! Back by the feet!
That's Florence. I'm coming! I'm coming!
Files,
oh, who were they?
It was my own cousin Herbert and that nasty little Henry Reuter and their gang. Herbert thinks he has to act perfectly horrible all the time now his voice changes.
But what?
He tried to steal this whole ice cream freezer off the back porch and sneak it over the back fence and eat it.
And Florence, all by yourself?
I stuck a pretty long pin into Herbert and two more of them, every bit as far as it would go, the dirty robbers.
Oh, did they hurt you?
You bet your life they didn't. Tried to drag me back to the house by the feet. I guess I gave them enough of that.
Well, I suppose I'd better carry the freezer back to the kitchen porch. Somebody may want it.
Somebody? Why, there's only two of these big freezers. And if I hadn't happened to suspect something and be laying for those vile thieves, half the party wouldn't get any.
Yeah, well,
or else they'd have had to have such little sauces of it that probably all the family that's here assisting would have had to go without any at all.
Yeah.
That would have been the worst of it.
There.
Well, I guess it's pretty lucky you happen to be hanging around out here.
Uh-huh.
The way it looks to me, I guess you saved my life. If you hadn't chased him away, I wouldn't have been a bit surprised if the gang would have killed me.
Oh, no, Florence, they wouldn't have
killed
you.
Well, you don't know that gang like I do. I bet if I died, they wouldn't even have a funeral. They'd probably just leave me lay.
Oh, not your Aunt Julia, Florence. She wouldn't have left you.
She's just like all the others.
Oh, not your Aunt Julia, Florence. Your Aunt Julia loves you.
It makes less difference to anybody whether their aunts love them or not than whether pretty near anybody else at all
but
does.
But not your Aunt Julia.
Say, by the way, what are you doing out here, anyway? Why aren't you in there dancing with all the others?
Oh, I just came out for a cigarette.
But you're not smoking.
Hello, I just remembered that I'm out of cigarettes.
Do you want me to go to the drugstore with you? Will you buy another pack?
Well,
Oh, wait! Oh, look, Mr. Dill, through the window.
What?
It's Mr. Clairdyce. He's going to sing.
Oh.
Is something the matter?
You better stay here, Florence. I'm going.
Well, don't be late for the refreshments, Mr. Dill.
I don't want any refreshments.
Don't want any? But, Mr. Dill, butter pecan ice cream.
Somebody's sitting down there on the horse block by our curbstone.
Yep. It's Noble Dill. He's been there some time.
Oh, poor Noble. Must have had a miserable time at the party to be sitting out there by himself.
Seems to me I remember a dance once long ago when you sat outside all night.
Yep. I only went back to get my hat.
And danced the last dance with me.
Hey. There he goes.
Well, maybe he doesn't want to leave his hat behind either.
Noble Dill.
Oh, Julia.
Where in the world have you been all evening?
Oh, why, Julia, did you notice I was gone?
Did I notice? You never came near me all evening after the first dance. Not even at supper.
Oh, you wouldn't do anything all evening except dance with that old Clairdyce and listen to him trying to sing.
You don't think I'd rather have danced with him, do you, Noble?
What? What did you say?
It's the last dance, Noble. Don't you want to dance it with me?
Oh, Julia, what a question to ask a fella.
Did you have a nice time, Noble?
Just glorious, Julia. Julia?
Yes?
Can I come over and call tomorrow afternoon?
Oh, I'm sorry, Noble. Tomorrow afternoon, I'm going walking with Mr. Clairdyke.
Well, Julia, how about the next day?
Oh, Noble, the next day I'm going south for a visit.
For long, Julia?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 2 whole weeks.
From Studio One at CBS, you're listening to Booth Tarkington's Gentle Julia, as arranged for radio by Peter Lyon. Our story will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Continuing Columbia's full-hour feature production from Studio One, Booth Tarkington's romantic comedy, Gentle Julia, featuring Ann Burr, Rosemary Rice, and Fletcher Markle.
Well, certainly quieter and more relaxed around here.
You mean with Julia away on a visit?
Hmm. Look for some peace for a change with Julia gone.
Hmm. Can't make that boy out.
What boy?
Herbert. There he is, sitting on his father's back fence again, just sitting and looking around. He was there yesterday afternoon after school, for it must have been 3 hours.
Oh, that.
Well, but what's he up to?
Well, you know that old hand printing press I had up in the attic?
Mm-hmm.
I gave it to him, and he and little Henry Reuter started a neighborhood newspaper.
Newspaper? Well, then why up on the fence?
That's his way of gathering news, I guess, and of teasing Florence by looking important.
Things.
What are, Florence?
Oh, Mommy, you know. Cousin Herbert and that nasty little Henry Reuter.
You watching them again?
Yes, I am. Not because I care to, but merely to amuse myself at their expense.
Couldn't you find some other way to amuse yourself, dear?
Oh, I don't really call this amusement. Think I'd spend all my days staring at Herbert Illingsworth Atwater Jr. and that nasty little Henry Reuter and call it amusement?
Well, I should think if they wouldn't let you play with him, you'd be too proud to...
Oh, good heavens, Mama.
Don't use such expressions, Florence, please.
Well, I gotta use some expression when you accuse me of wanting to play with those two vile things. My goodness mercy, Mama, I don't want to play with them.
Oh, Florence, really?
Mama, can't you understand? It isn't playing. They ain't playing.
Aren't playing, Florence?
Yes, Mama, they're not playing.
Then what are they doing?
Got a newspaper. They got a printing press from Uncle Joseph and an office in Herbert's father's stable with a little desk from that nasty little Henry Reuter's mother's attic and a map on the wall and some chairs, and that's their newspaper office. They write down the news in lead pencil, and then they go up to their office and write it in ink, and then they print it for their newspaper.
But what do they do on the fence?
That's where they go to watch what the news is. They go other places, too, and they ask people. That's all they said I could be. They said maybe I could be one of the ones they asked if I knew anything, sometimes, if they happened to think of it. I just respectfully told them I declined to wipe my oldest shoes on them to save their lives. Vile things.
How often do they intend to publish their newspaper, Florence?
Every week. And they charge 25 cents a year, collect in advance because they want the money first. The North End Daily Oriole.
Is that what they call it?
Silliest name I ever heard of for a newspaper, and I told them so.
Oh, Florence. Maybe you shouldn't.
Mama,
have.
I gotta say something. Well, I told them I wouldn't be in their old paper if they begged me on their bended knees. And I said if they begged me 1,000 years, I wouldn't be in any paper with such a crazy name. And I wouldn't tell them any news if I knew the President of the United States had scarlet fever.
But why wouldn't they let you be on the paper?
Oh, just so they could act important. Herbert has to try to act important now that his voice is changing. They ought to be arrested.
There. Here's that good old sign nailed up. Look, Herbert.
The North End Daily Oriole. Atwater and Reuter's owners and proprietors.
Subscribe now, 25 cents.
Yes, sir, Henry, that looks like something, all right.
Yes, sir, Herbert, certainly does. Well, let's,
What's the matter? Oh, it's Florence again.
Good afternoon.
Listen, didn't I and Herbert tell you to keep out of here?
Well, yeah, why don't you go away and play somewhere? This is our office. Can't you leave us alone?
I haven't been within 1,000 miles of your old office for 4 whole days.
This is our office. Can't you leave us alone?
I haven't been within 1,000 miles of your old office for 4 whole days. And I only came then because I knew somebody ought to see that this stable isn't ruined. It's my own uncle and aunt's stable, I guess, isn't it? Answer me that if you're kindly pleased to do so.
It's my father's and mother's stable. Haven't I got a right to say who's allowed my own father's and mother's stable?
You have not. It's my own uncle and aunt's stable, and I have as much right here as anybody.
Listen, Florence, this isn't anybody's stable. It's my and Herbert's newspaper building. And I guess you haven't got a right to say you got a right to go in a newspaper building when everybody tells you to stay outside of it, I guess.
Oh, poot.
Here, you try to behave like a lady.
For heaven's sakes, when are we going to get our newspaper work done? She's your cousin, Herbert. I should think you could get her out.
Well, I'm going, ain't I? I expect to get her out, don't I?
Oh, do you? Pray, how do you expect to accomplish it, pray?
Oh.
Now, Florence, look here. We've got newspaper work to do. And you ought to have sense enough to know newspaper work, like this newspaper work we got on our hands here, isn't... Well, it ain't any child's play.
No, you bet it isn't any child's play.
No, sir. This newspaper work we got on our hands here isn't any child's play.
No. No, sir. Newspaper work like this isn't any child's play at all.
No, 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 it isn't any child's play, Florence. If it was just child's play or something like that, why, it wouldn't matter so much you're always poking around up here and
well,
everything.
Well, we wouldn't want her around anyway, even if it was child's play.
Oh, you wouldn't.
No, we wouldn't, that's so. Oh, for mercy's sake, Florence, can't you go on home and give us a little rest?
Why do you always have to be around here picking fault and everything?
Well, now, that's very nice, I must say. I'm picking fault.
I told you she'd always be picking fault if we gave her a chance, didn't I, Herbert?
That's right, Henry, you did. You said she'd be the same way as some of our family says she is. A good many of them say she'd find fault with the undertaker at her own funeral. That's exactly what I say.
Oh, it is it? How very considerate of you. Then perhaps you'll try to be a gentleman enough for one simple moment to allow me to tell you my last remarks on this subject. I've said enough.
Oh, have you? Oh, say not so, Florence. Say not so. Florence, say not so.
I'll tell you one thing. I wish to make just one last simple remark.
Oh, say not so, Florence.
I'll just simply state the simple truth. In the first place, you are going to live to see the day when you'll come and beg me on your bended knees to have me run your old newspaper for you. And I'll just laugh at you. Indeed, I'll say. So you come begging around me, do you? Ha, ha, I'll say.
Say not so, Florence.
Even if I was wearing the oldest shoes I got in the world, I'll say I wouldn't take the trouble.
Oh, Florence, say not so. Say not so.
Well, now that's funny.
Hmm? What?
Well, you remember that print and press you gave to Herbert?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the first edition. It ought to be out this week.
Well, I thought you said Herbert's biggest problem was in keeping little Florence away from the whole project.
Wouldn't you think keeping Florence away would be a man-sized job? She's a pretty persistent customer.
Yes, but in that case...
Well?
Well, I just don't understand why Herbert and little Henry Reuter should be so interested in what's going on in Florence's yard. I should think they'd give her a pretty wide berth.
They over there, are they?
Well, look.
Yep. Oh, I see what it is.
What?
Apparently Florence has a visitor, little Patty Fairchild.
Oh.
Guess those boys are just about old enough to be taking an interest in a pretty girl. And Patty certainly is pretty.
Hmm. I wonder how Florence has taken it.
Now, see here, you two. What on earth do you want around here?
This is my own uncle's and aunt's yard, isn't it? I guess if I want to come in, I got a perfect right to, haven't I, Henry?
I should say you have, Herbert. And you got a right to invite me to come with you.
Why, of course. They're invited in, aren't they, Florence? We can play some nice games or something.
I just as soon.
I got nothing particular to do.
Oh, this is perfectly grand. Come on, Florence. Aren't you going to sit down with all the rest of us?
You can go ahead if you want to, Patty. As for me, I wouldn't soil the oldest shoes I got by so much as even wiping them on those two.
Florence! Well, you shouldn't say such things.
Oh, don't pay any attention to her, Patty. Come on.
Well, what'll we play?
I don't care.
I know. We'll play truth. We'll each take a paper and pencil, and then each of us ask the other a question. And we have to write down the answer and sign your name and fold it up so that nobody can see it. And we have to keep it a secret and never tell as long as we live.
Oh, Poot. Never mind her, Patty. We got pencils and paper.
Come on, Patty. You whisper me whatever question you want. I don't care what it's about.
No, I ought to have her whisper me first.
Perfectly sickening.
All right. First, Henry.
Perfectly, perfectly sickening.
See?
Uh-huh.
Now you write down the answer, Henry, and sign your name.
Now whisper me, Patty.
All right. Ooh, Henry Reuter, Herbert, too. They make me sick. That's what they do.
Fine manners, I must say.
Now write down your answer, Herbert, and sign your name. And you both must give me your answer.
It's simply childish.
Pretty way to treat company. I should march straight into your house and inform your mother, Florence.
Oh, never mind her, but never mind her. You finished your answer?
Uh-huh. Now it's my turn to whisper you a question.
Well, before you do, I'll just go in and collect my hat and coat, and then we'll all go somewheres else. Won't that be more fun?
Well, it certainly will.
I'll just be a little minute.
Tell you what, Herbert, let's go over to yours and my newspaper building. That way we can be sure that old Florence won't follow us.
Yeah. I guess she knows better than to come to our newspaper building again.
Oh, what a lot of old piffle.
All right, then, let's go. Henry Reuter, Herbert, too. They make me sick, that's what they do.
Oh, say not so, Florence. Say not so.
Say not so.
Oh, Florence, say not so.
Things.
Florence, your mother and I were talking. You shouldn't interrupt.
Bull, I...
Sit down and rest, dear. You play too hard when Patty and the boys are here.
Go on, Molly. What were you saying?
Well, I was only saying that Julia's always done exactly as she pleases, and naturally she's going to do as she pleases about this. Oh, why couldn't she let her poor father know at least a few days before she did?
What is all this, Papa?
Well, I don't suppose there's any harm in your knowing it if you won't go telling everybody. Your Aunt Julia has just written us that she's engaged.
Oh!
I'm afraid you oughtn't to have told Florence. She isn't the most discreet.
She's certainly one of the family, though. And Julia wrote that all the family might be told.
Papa, did Aunt Julie really write she was engaged?
Yes.
To get married?
It would seem so.
To who?
To whom, dear?
Mama, who's Aunt Julie engaged to get married to? Noble Dill?
Oh, good gracious, no. What an idea. It's to a young man none of us know, dear. Julia just recently met him. And that's just the trouble, George. We don't even know he's young. He may be a widower, divorced with 7 or 8 children.
Oh, now, wait, Mom.
Well, he might. He may be a widower for the 3rd or 4th time, with any number of children.
At that, I know one job I wouldn't like. Breaking the news to Julia's admirers. They'll take it pretty hard.
Pretty hard. There's one of them, at least, who will just merely lose his reason.
You mean Noble Dill? I suppose that's true.
Papa, what's a person's reason?
Lose your reason is just an expression for going crazy, Florence. You know, Molly, somebody ought to tell Noble Dill. And it ought to be done with the greatest tact, the most delicate care, or the consequences...
Nobody could predict the consequences, no matter how tactfully it's broken to Noble.
Mommy, you mean Noble Dill is going crazy?
Now, Florence, time for you to wash up for supper. And look at the way you left your coat. When will you learn to pick up things and hang them up? This mess of papers here.
I didn't leave any papers around, Mama.
Well, then, what's this? Not in my handwriting. Yes, Patty, if I got to tell the truth, I know I have got...
Never mind, Mama. Give them to me. They're just some silly notes we were playing with.
All right. But pick up your coat, Florence.
Yes, if I got to tell the truth, I know I have got pretty eyes. I am glad you think so, too, Patty, because your eyes are, too. Signed, Herbert Illingsworth Atwater, Jr. She must have dropped these when she was putting on her coat. Oh, boy. Oh, this one must be Henry's.
Well, Patty, my eyes are pretty, but suppose I would like to trade with yours because you have beautiful eyes also, sure as my name is Henry Reuter. Aha!
Herbert? Well, what do you want? Call me up on the phone and say you gotta see me right away. What do you want? It better not be anything about our newspaper, because you'll never get into our office again.
Are you sure, Herbert?
Just you try it. Just come around tomorrow and try it. That's all I ask.
I certainly intend to. I may have a slight surprise for you.
Oh, Florence, say not so. Say not so.
I might say not so. I might if I was speaking of what pretty eyes you know you have, Herbert.
What do you mean?
No, nothing. Just about what pretty eyes you know you have, and Patty's being pretty, too. Say not so, Herbert.
Hey, did Patty tell you about... Well, I guess you're ready to believe anything anybody tells you. You don't believe everything Patty Fairchild says, do you?
Why, Herbert, doesn't she always tell the truth?
I wouldn't believe anything that old girl said, even if she told me 50 times and crossed her heart.
Wouldn't you, Herbert? Wouldn't you if it was on paper in your own handwriting?
Well, look here, Florence. That's all just a lot of guff.
Maybe, Herbert. Maybe. And maybe if you and that nasty little Henry Reuter do every single thing I tell you to from this time on, why, maybe it'll stay just a lot of guff.
Why should we?
You wouldn't want every boy and girl in 7A. Yes, and every boy and girl in every other class in school, too. You wouldn't want them to know what pretty eyes you have, would you, Herbert? Well, I'll see you after school tomorrow, Herbert, over at my newspaper building. Don't be late. Good night, Herbert.
Hello, Henry. I thought I wouldn't start editing this afternoon until you got here.
Yeah. Well, let's get to work.
You know, Henry, my family has started interfering around and giving me the dickens and everything because they think... Well, they say they do anyhow. They say they think...
Well, what's your family think?
Well, they say we ought to let Florence have a share of our newspaper.
Oh.
As for me, I don't say we oughtn't. I don't say we oughtn't.
Well, that's the way I look at it, too.
You do? Oh, you do?
Well, I don't say we will, and I don't say we won't.
You know, that's the way I look at it, too.
You know, my mother and father are always talking to me how I gotta be polite and everything. I guess maybe it's time I began to pay some attention to what they say. You don't have your father and mother for always, you know, Herbert.
That's what I say.
I was thinking about it when I ran into Florence on the way over from school.
Florence? Look here, Henry. Did she go and tell you?
I didn't hardly notice what she was talking about. Oh. She didn't have anything to say that I'd ever care 2 cents about.
Oh, that's the way with me, Henry. I never pay any notice to what she says.
All I think about is... my mother and father say they want me to be polite. I'll do it. But that's the only reason.
It's the only reason with me, too, Henry.
Herbert.
Yeah?
There she comes.
Well, men, I don't want to see any loafing around here. Men, I expect I'll have a pretty good newspaper this week. Yes, sir. And I guess you men got to jump around a good deal to do everything I think of. Or else maybe I'll have to fire you. I don't want to have to do that, men.
Well, Henry, I guess on account of my family asked me to...
I'll be the editor from now on, and I'll want you men to do all the printing. I don't care to get all inky and nasty.
Yes, Herbert, I guess... Well, after all, our father and mother won't always be with us.
And I'll take care of all the news, too. It'll be printed just as I say and printed nicely, too. Or else.
Now, you just look here a minute.
Or else.
Oh.
Now, let's start out by hearing what kind of dribble you men had already prepared for the news in the next issue. I don't expect I can read your messy old handwriting, so you read the items to me, men. Henry?
Well,
Go on, read some stuff. Read it.
Patty
Lady Fairchild received the highest mark in declamation of the 7A at Grant School last Friday.
Oh, my. Can't have that kind of trash in the paper, men. Can we take this down instead? Miss Patty Fairchild of this city has not been doing as well in declamation lately as formerly. Got that?
Yup.
Well, men, I can see I'm going to have to take over the news end of this paper. So you just wait here quietly whilst I write the news, and then you can start printing. And I want the subscribers to get their papers today.
Here you are, Uncle Joseph.
What's this? This week's edition of the North End Daily Oriole?
Yes, sir.
Well, looks like that printing press I gave you is doing a pretty good job.
Yes, sir, it is.
Wait a minute now. What's your hurry? Let me read it before you go.
Well...
Blue hair ribbons are in style again. Well, that's a funny news item.
Yes, sir.
You put that item in, Herbert?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a very nice item about your cousin Florence getting a high mark in history. You responsible for that one, too?
Well, yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Seem to be quite a few items about Noble Dill. And what's this about your Aunt Julia?
Oh, that's nothing.
Nothing, huh? Says Miss Julia Atwater of this city wrote a letter to the family stating while visiting in the South she has made an engagement to be married to Mr. Crum of Louisville. Says, the family do not know who this Mr. Crum is, but it is said he is a widower, though he has been divorced with a great many children.
Well, I guess I'd better deliver the rest of my paper.
Wait a minute, Herbert. You sure you're responsible for all that's in this paper?
Well, sir, I and Henry mostly took care of the mechanical end of this week's edition.
You mean there was some third party involved in preparing the news?
Well, I and Henry thought... Well, you know, Uncle Joseph, our father and mother won't always be with us, so we thought we should take their advice and be more polite to... Well, to people. And so...
You know, Herbert, I think there's going to be quite a fuss in the family for a while. I suggest that maybe you'd better be off now, because I'm afraid I'm compromised enough just by having been the one that gave you that printing press. I don't specially care to be seen in your company for a while.
No, sir.
And if you'll take my advice, you'll keep as clear of the rest of the family as you know how.
Yes, sir.
Hello, George?
Yes, what is it?
Have you seen Herbert's newspaper yet?
No, why?
Oh, the most terrible thing. Oh, I'm so glad Florence had nothing to do with it. Well, it's obviously all Herbert's fault.
That Herbert.
Isn't it dreadful? Oh, if boys could only be like girls.
Here, Mr. Dill, I ran all the way to get you your copy of the newspaper, especially.
A newspaper?
The North End Daily Oriole, you know. There's a lot in it about you.
Oh, thank you, Florence.
Read the last item, Mr. Dill, and I hope this is a tactful and delicate way of letting you know.
Letting me know?
So you won't lose your reason, you know.
It's Uncle Joseph's fault, too.
Yes, it most certainly is. Putting a printing press in the hands of an irresponsible boy.
Where do you think Herbert can have disappeared to?
Where is Uncle Joseph is what I'd like to know.
Hello, George.
What is it this time, dear?
Oh, I just happened to wonder, do you think poor Noble Dill...
Oh, my golly.
What will he do? He's likely to commit suicide.
The more I think of it, the happier I am that Florence can't be blamed for this. Is she there with you?
Why, no. That's funny. She hasn't been around all afternoon.
Florence, get in.
Where are we going, Uncle Joseph?
Well, before I go home again, I was thinking some of driving around by way of Texas.
Herbert!
Yes, ma'am?
Come in here, sir. Sit down.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, Herbert, such a naughty, terrible thing to have done.
Well, it wasn't me. It was Florence.
Herbert, that's still worse, putting the blame on someone else.
But
no, Herbert, it won't do. Everybody in the family knows how rude you were to Florence, keeping her from playing with you and Henry Rooter.
But
I just wish that Florence were here to hear her bad little cousin trying to put his responsibility on her shoulders.
I am not either little. I'm 5'3¼" tall.
That may be, Herbert, but you must realize that will never bring back poor young Mr. Dill to his family.
Mr. Dill? You mean Noble Dill?
Yes. We just heard by telephone. He's disappeared.
I do wonder where he is now.
I'm afraid we may hear at any moment.
Next, please.
Come on,
mister. You want a railroad ticket or not?
Just a timetable, please.
Timetable? For trains to where?
All points south.
Next, please. Well, come on. That's you. Pick it to where, mister? People are waiting.
Louisville.
Round trip or one way?
Yes.
Yes? Here. One way. Stay there. That'll be $8.32. Well?
I haven't... I forgot to bring the money. I'll be right back. Hello.
It's you again.
Yes. To Louisville.
You got the money?
Right here.
Okay. Just a second.
Noble Dill.
Julia.
I just this minute got off the train. Are you going away somewhere, Noble?
No, I'm just standing here.
I told the porter to get me a taxicab. If you're going home for dinner, I'll drop you at your house.
I'm awfully
hungry and I want to get home. Come on, if you like.
Well, Julia...
Come on, Noble. I'm so glad I happened to run across you. I want to hear all the news. Nobody knows I'm home. I didn't write or telegraph to a soul. Father's still out of town, I think. But, Noble, you don't seem glad to see me.
Am I? I mean, don't I?
Come on, here's a taxi. And if you don't have to go home, maybe you could stop and have some supper alone with me. All right, Noble, we're home.
But, Julia, at least let me tell you.
Noble, not a word to. We're both sitting on the porch. If you have some news to tell me, it'll keep. You're the only person that knows I've come home, so you'll be able to have the whole evening to yourself.
I'm glad.
I came all of a sudden, on an impulse. You see, Noble, about a week ago, I wrote a foolish letter home to the family, hoping they'd keep it a secret. But I can't expect my family to keep anything a secret. There, just put the suitcase inside, Noble. We'll sit on the porch.
Sure. There we are. Julia,
of course, it wasn't a very big secret. Really, only of the least importance.
Only of the least importance. Julia with a man named Crumb.
What?
That's exactly what it said his name was. It's all right here in the North End Daily Oriole.
What in heaven's name is that?
It's the children's paper, I've been trying to tell you. Your own nephew and niece's paper, Julia. You can't deny it.
Deny what?
Oh, that his name's Crumb. And that he's a widower and he's been divorced and's got nobody knows how many children. Here, read this newspaper.
What? Oh. Oh, really?
Yes.
Isn't that frightful?
Yes, Julia, it is. Nobody knows that better than I do.
But it's none of it true.
It isn't?
Why, he's only 26 and he's never been married.
Oh, I thought you meant it wasn't true.
I just said there's none
but
of
it... But you're engaged to him, Julia.
Oh, those terrible children.
But, Julia, you're engaged.
Noble!
You are engaged.
Mr. Crumb is a charming young man. I liked him very much indeed. I liked him... very, very much. I liked him very, very,
I understand. Very... Don't say it anymore, Julia.
And I admit that for several days after he proposed to me, I thought something serious might come of it.
Mm-mm.
But I hadn't thought, Noble, about how it would make me give up so much. Home and family and friends. Friends like you, Noble. And at that time, I hadn't yet met his mother.
Well, Julia,
You aren't? You aren't engaged?
I am not. If I ever was in the slightest, I certainly am not now.
Julia, promise me something. Will you promise me something, Julia? Promise to promise me something.
I will. What do you want me to do?
Give me your word. Give me your word. Your word and your sacred promise, Julia.
Yes, what is it?
Give me your word and your sacred promise that you'll never, ever, so long as you live...
Mr. Dill!
We're over here, Noble, in the car.
Hello, Florence. Hello, Uncle Joseph. Hello, Mr. Atwater. Hello.
Go ahead, Florence.
Well, I just wanted to say...
Isn't it a beautiful night?
Yes, Noble, but listen to Florence. She has something to say.
Yes, Florence, what is it?
Well, only that I only did it, Mr. Dill, so that you wouldn't lose your reason. So I... hope you didn't lose your reason.
Oh, but I did.
What's that?
Yes, sir, Uncle Joseph. Mr. Atwater, I did. I just lost it. Because just 5 minutes ago, Julia promised me. She gave me her sacred word.
Well, what did she promise, Noble?
Julia promised that never, ever, so long as she lives, will she get engaged to anybody at all.
From Studio One at CBS, you have just heard Fletcher Markle's production of Gentle Julia by Booth Tarkington. Another full-hour Columbia feature from the pages of the world's great storytellers. Tonight's script was prepared especially for this series by Peter Lyon, and the original musical score was composed by Wendell Adams and conducted by Alexander Semler. Now again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer introduce the principal members of our cast tonight. In the foreground...
Julia.
...was played by Anne Burr.
Florence.
Was Rosemary Rice.
Herbert.
And Henry.
Were Michael Dreyfuss and Edwin Bruce.
Patty.
Was Joyce Van Patten.
Uncle Joe.
And Aunt Hattie.
The voices in the rocking chairs were Robert Dryden and Miriam Wolfe. Actively assisting were Barbara Townsend, Blanca Peterson, Sybil Trent, Abby Lewis, Gregory Morton, Louis Quinn, and Ian McAllister. Noble Dill was played by your producer. Next week from Studio One at CBS, one of the most compelling novels in the English language. A story of love and loveliness, hate and cruelty and darkness. Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights. We hope you'll be with us. And now until next week, until Wuthering Heights, this is Fletcher Markle with a good night and thank you from all of us in Studio One.
Daylight saving time ends next week, and the entire country will be on standard time. If your area has not been on daylight saving time, tune in Studio One 1 hour later. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.